I want to say a few words on Solomon's dedication of the temple in Jerusalem. You'll find the passage in 1 Kings chapter 8 from verse 15 to verse 66. King David had wanted to build a temple for God, but God had not allowed him. But under the Davidic covenant, the promise of that covenant, God said that Solomon, the son of David, would build this temple. And now, the temple having been completed, Solomon dedicates it and consecrates it in his prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8. This is a high watermark for Solomon's kingdom. And it's a very important place and passage in Scripture and in the history of the world. I have written about this importance in my book, Covenant, Redemption History Through Covenants. And I've explained how God has revealed redemption, the redemption of his elect, through a series of covenants. The Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and then, of course, the great and glorious New Covenant. But in between the Mosaic covenant and the New Covenant, we have the Davidic covenant. And that plays its role too in this revelation of the history of redemption through covenants. This is the high watermark in that covenant, the dedication and the consecration of the temple. Now, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one who has a living trust in him, one who relies upon the Lord Jesus and his death and resurrection, his blood and righteousness for my everlasting salvation, I have an interest in this dedication of the temple. And I want to know how, in the days of the New Covenant, in the days of the Gospel, I should understand and interpret and apply this dedication, this consecration, this temple in the days of the New Covenant and the Gospel. Now, I have written more largely about it in a small article called The Temple in the New Covenant, and I won't repeat the arguments here. I just want a simple, brief overview. If you want to see the arguments behind what I say here, The Temple in the New Covenant is the article you should read. You'll find it on my webpage. Now, you know, covenant theologians say that all these covenants are really one and the same covenant. There are different administrations, yes, slight changes, but really, basically, it's all one covenant. And, of course, this misunderstanding, this imposition on Scripture, Scripture shows that these covenants are different. There is a continuity, but it's discontinuity the Bible emphasizes. Covenant theologian view of the oneness of the covenants and just different administrations really leads them into very difficult places. One of the difficulties is how we understand the elements of these other covenants and their place in the new covenant. Take the Sabbath, for example. Covenant theologians want to bring the Sabbath as a day into the new covenant when we know, Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, when we know that the Sabbath in the New Covenant is Christ himself. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, do I keep feasts in the New Covenant? Yes, but not literally as a day or a time of the week. Christ, my Passover, is sacrificed for me. Do I have an altar? Oh, I certainly do, but no physical altar. Christ is my altar. Do I have a priest? Not literally in the sense of the papist idea, no. But I do have a high priest who has offered one sacrifice for sins forever and perfected me as a believer, as one of his elect, has perfected me forever by that sacrifice. And that's true for all believers, of course. And so he goes on. Christ is my tabernacle. Christ is my Sabbath. Christ is my priest. Christ is my altar. Christ is my sacrifice. Christ is all, Colossians 3:11. And it's the same for every believer. What about the temple then? Well, the temple must take the same role as all these others. As the tabernacle, the letter to the Hebrews makes clear, as the tabernacle was a shadow, a copy of the heavenly, the reality being Christ. The Bible makes this very clear, Colossians 2, 17 to 22 and so on. As Christ is the reality for the altar, the priest, the sacrifice, the feast, the Sabbath and so on, so Christ is the reality of the temple. Now, how does this play out? Well, look at Solomon's dedication. Look at his prayers. He speaks of the temple to God, and he pleads with God, he prays to God, that Israel will know the temple and find the temple to be the place where God will dwell. Now, he knows it's impossible for God to dwell in a building, but he trusts that God will dwell there, will meet with his people there, and that he will receive their worship. He will give them direction and guidance. He will forgive their sins as they pray there and sacrifice there. That God will answer their cries in famine, in disease, in war, and when there's no rain and so on. And foreigners too, if they look to the temple, if they come to the temple, that they'll meet with God. And the Israelites, when they're in captivity through their sin, if they direct their prayers to the temple and so on, that God will hear them and bless them. Solomon could not place a higher dignity upon the temple than he does in 1 Kings chapter 8. And God in 1 Kings chapter 9 says, yes, I will. This is where I will meet with the people. I will hear their prayers. I will answer them. I will bless them there. You see, the temple is the very center, the apex of all this old covenant and Davidic covenant system. And it comes over into the new covenant. And as I've said, Christ is my priest. Christ is my sacrifice. Christ is my Sabbath. Christ is the meeting place, the mercy seat, the temple for me. Where do I meet God? In Christ. Where do I hear his truth? In Christ. Where do I receive the forgiveness of my sins? Not shadowy as in the old covenant, but really. Where do I receive the forgiveness of my sins? In Christ. Where does God answer my prayers? Where does he guide me, lead me, comfort me, encourage me, rebuke me, correct me? He ministers his word to me by his Spirit. Where? In and through Christ. Christ is all. This is what I see is the meaning in the new covenant. Child of God, can you not see the glories of the Davidic kingdom and covenant under Solomon? Yes, they were glorious, but they all pale into insignificance when the reality is laid against the shadow. The picture is there, but we have the reality, and it's Christ. Christ is all for us. An unbeliever, you need the forgiveness of sins. You need to meet with God. You need peace with God. You need to be right with God. And where will you find it? In Christ. That's what I see here. You see, one of the dangers of the covenant theologians is they mix the two covenants. And there'd be a temptation then, wouldn't there, to think upon a building today. And how many believers do think upon their building where they meet, and the institution that they meet with there as their place of worship? Their worship begins when they assemble and it finishes when they leave. God meets with them as the man speaks from the pulpit. Now, am I against preaching? Am I against assembling? No. But my friend, that's not the temple in the new covenant. It's not a building. It is Christ. It's not buildings. It's not men. It's Christ. Unbeliever, you need Christ. I'm not offering you religion. I'm speaking to you of the one way of salvation. I am the way, said Jesus, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the meeting place. And if you would ever be right with God, you must come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. So come now, trusting him for your salvation, casting aside every other hope, every vestige of every other claim, and looking unto Jesus only. And believer, go on rejoicing that you have a meeting place with God. And it's not just once a week or twice a week or whatever it might be. It is 24/7. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me quote a hymn to you. I'm sorry I have to read it, by William Cowper. William Cowper, meeting with John Newton at Olney, not in any dedicated building, not any consecrated house, but meeting with a few believers. This is what he said. Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. For thou within no walls confined, inhabitest the humble mind. Such ever bring thee where they come, and going take thee to their home. Do you believe it, believer? I do. Dear shepherd of thy chosen few, thy former mercies here renew. Here to our waiting hearts proclaim the sweetness of thy saving name. Here, here, meeting with Christ, here may we prove the power of prayer to strengthen faith and sweeten care, to teach our faint desires to rise, and bring all heaven before our eyes. Lord, we are few, but thou art near, nor short thine arm, nor death thine ear. O, rend the heavens, come quickly down, and make our waiting hearts thine own. That's the temple, my friend. Christ himself, meeting with his people, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. He's in the midst of us, and that to bless us surely. So the glories of the Old Covenant, the Davidic Covenant, under Solomon with this glorious temple and the dedication, yes, wonderful, wonderful. But when I look at the Lord Jesus by faith, and know that I meet with God through Christ, all the glories of the old fade into the reality of the glory of the new. Oh, brother and sister in Christ, let us rejoice and know that Christ is indeed our temple, our priest, our sacrifice, our altar, our Sabbath, our one thing after another. All in all, Christ is all. Unto him be the glory and the praise. Amen.